Okay, this morning, I just had on my heart to bring to you the theme Thanksgiving. At this time of year, the churches right across the nation, they bring in their first fruits. And so churches right across the UK will be bringing food and different goods and bringing them as an offering to the Lord. And that food then gets shared with food banks and different things across the country. We did that last year. We actually at the time were overseeing the Corby Food Bank, and I know that because schools were taking up their harvest assembly offerings and churches were taking up their harvest offerings, that the food bank was absolutely overwhelmed with food, and they actually were struggling. This year they've got a bit more space, fortunately, because they're in a different building, and we have a basket in the restaurant area where you can bring food every week. But this week I wanted to think about Thanksgiving, what Thanksgiving looks like for us as a church. How do we express thanks to God, and what is the power of that Thanksgiving in our lives? And so we're going to look at various passages in the scriptures today. And I would encourage you to have your Bibles to hand so that you can look up some of these scriptures with me. When I first became a Christian, I was saved out of a situation where I was an angry, disgruntled young man. And I used to complain about lots of things. I used to complain about people. I used to complain about situations. I felt that, you know, my rights weren't always being met. And so if somebody cut in front of me in a queue, I had a lot to say to that person about how dare they cut me up in front of, you know, stand in front of me in a queue, or how dare somebody drive in front of me in a queue of traffic. By the way, I think the space in your car is also sanctified. So when you're driving down the road, you're still a Christian. Just wanted to speak that into your life. Someone needed to hear that this morning. But I remember being a young man coming to faith, and one of my friends, they said, listen, you're going through some stuff at the moment, and you know, there's some difficult things you're having to navigate, and there's a lot of identity stuff. You're still working out who you are. But here's the key to living a life of peace and happiness. And I said, what's that? He said, be thankful. I said, be thankful. What do you mean, be thankful? He says, well, it depends where your gaze is. He says, if your gaze is on the things that are going wrong, those are the things that you're going to see. If your gaze is on God and his goodness, those are the things you're going to see. And I think this morning, I just want to encourage us to focus again on the beauty, the power of Thanksgiving. Because there are lots of us today who complain a lot. We moan a lot. We grumble a lot. Because that is the natural default setting of our sinful nature. We don't have to try really hard to be unthankful and to be discontent. We don't have to try really hard. We don't have to work it up to feel like we want to complain about something. That comes naturally to us. What doesn't come so naturally to us is to turn the gaze of our hearts onto the Lord Jesus and to see all of the wonderful things he does in our lives every single day, and to choose to focus on those things and give thanks to him. And so I wonder if right at the very beginning you could just maybe close your eyes, if it helps, to still your hearts, and just gaze around your life. Think about things like your relationships. Think about your health. Think about the fact that you have a roof over your head, if you do. Thank God that today you live in a country where you can express your faith freely without fear of persecution or imprisonment or even death. Thank God if you have sight that you can see beautiful things. Thank God that you can taste wonderful food. Just take some time just to be thankful for the things that are good in your life. Here's some things to be thankful for. We can be thankful that God has chosen us. If you're here today and you're a Christian, if you name the name of Jesus, the Lord has chosen you. That's something to be thankful for. Thank God that you are indwelt today by his Holy Spirit. That he has given you a down payment through the Spirit guaranteeing what is to come. Thank God that your eternity is secure in Christ. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit that he's given you. What are the gifts that he's put into your life? Thank God that he has given you intimacy, that we get to call Father God, the creator of heaven and earth, that we get to call him Dad, Abba. Thank God for peace with him through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Thank you that not only do we have peace with God, but he has given us his peace, a peace that passes understanding, that we could, in the midst of storms in life, have his peace in our lives. Thank God for his unconditional love. He never says to us, listen, I will love you if. He never puts a seed of doubt into our hearts and say, child, if you do these things for me, you'll be acceptable to me. He says, you are accepted in Christ, and you are wanted in Christ. You are chosen in Christ. You can come near, draw near to the Father in Christ, that we have the unconditional love of God being poured out into our hearts. We have moment by moment access to his presence. We have total forgiveness, past, present, and future. We have an eternal home, and that he's given us his scriptures. We have so much to be thankful for. But here are a few things. I want to just do a tour of some scriptures through the Bible, just to remind us of some of the things that the Lord says about Thanksgiving. Incidentally, let me find my phone. I was just looking online just to see what people who aren't Christians say about Thanksgiving. This is what people who aren't Christians say about Thanksgiving and the power of Thanksgiving. It's almost like they have stumbled across something which has the power to set them free in some way. And it's almost like they've stumbled across an ancient truth. Isn't that interesting? That's been in the Bible for thousands and thousands of years. So let me read this out to you. It's in an article called Seven Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude. And here's a couple. Gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Emmons, a leading gratitude researcher, we've got gratitude researchers. Gratitude researcher has concluded, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. Also, gratitude enhances empathy, reduces aggression. Grateful people are more likely to behave in a social manner, even when others behave less kindly, according to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky. Study participants ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate when others offended them, even when they were given negative feedback. So there's even scientific evidence outside the church that what God says is true. But I want to show you what God says in his word. So the first thing that I want to say this morning is that giving thanks is God's will for our lives. Do you believe that? Well, let's look at this scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, it says this. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I just want to show you some things in that verse. The first thing is, you might be thankful well enough. I often feel thankful, but there's something about giving thanks that's different from being thankful. And so the thing with being thankful is that we can walk around and, you know, we can look at a beautiful building like this, and we can be thankful that we get to meet in a building like this, or we can see a beautiful sunset, or we can look out to the horizon when we're on the beach, and we can be thankful. But the great thing about being a Christian, a child of God, is that we have an object to return thanks to. And when we are thankful, we give thanks to God. And so it's not just being thankful, it's giving thanks. And sometimes we have to train ourselves to give thanks to the one who deserves our thanksgiving. And he says, not only do we give thanks, but we give thanks in all circumstances. That's interesting, isn't it? Because if you think of all of the circumstances in your life right now, some of those circumstances will be great, and other circumstances won't be as good. So some of you I know are going through some horrendous times at the moment. You're going through some really difficult stuff. We heard one person even this morning give a testimony of some of the trials that he's been through. And so how can God say that even in the middle of those times that we are to give thanks and that this is his will for our lives? How does that work? Well, I believe that we can give thanks to God in faith because what he says is true. Who he is true whether we're feeling great or feeling rubbish. And so it might be that in the middle of the storm we're saying, Lord, I'm not thanking you that this thing has come on my life. I'm not thanking you that I'm going through this horrendous time, but I thank you that you're going to teach me some things through this. I thank you that there are some lessons to learn through this, that you're allowing this to happen, and there are some things that I can learn through this that perhaps I couldn't have learned any other way. And it might be that you can say, well, Lord, I don't feel great right now, but I believe that you are the one who works all things together for good, and so I thank you for the good that you're working out through this. And you might say that, Lord, I can't see the good in this, but I know that you are a good God and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. And so I give you thanks in the midst of this trial that you are still good, that you will never let me down, that you will never turn your back on me, that you're present with me in my boat in the middle of this storm. We can give thanks in the middle of the most horrendous situations, not because we thank God for the horrible things that are happening, but what God will bring about because of them. In James, at the beginning of the book of James, James says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when facing trials of many kinds. What? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when facing trials of many kinds. How could he say that? Because he understood that God was a God who was at work in our lives through those trials, perfecting his work in us, changing us day by day from glory into glory and maturing us as his children. So he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you know today that for you to give thanks is God's will for your life? Oh, Damien, Pastor, I want to know the will of God for my life. I want to know God's will for my life. The will of God for your life is that you give thanks. There are specific things you're asking God for revelation. It might be about a job. It might be about a life partner. All of those things, you need to seek God's perfect will. But I'll tell you God's will for your life in a very general sense, that you are to be those on the earth who give thanks, a people of thanksgiving, those with an attitude of gratitude. So the first thing is that giving thanks is God's will for us. The second thing is God's giving thanks is a decision. We have to choose to give thanks. In Ephesians 5, it says this from verse 19. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command. Sing, make music in your hearts, and give thanks to the Lord in everything. And in Psalm 7, the psalmist says this. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. There's a choice that has to be made sometimes to focus away from the issues that are besetting us, the storm that's surrounding us, to take our eyes off those things and to give thanks for the good things that are in our lives. And even if we struggle to see the good things in our lives, we know that we can always focus on a God who never changes, and we can give thanks to God for his love for us. And so there's a choice to be made. Do you remember the story of Daniel? So Daniel was faced with this situation where the king decreed that anybody who worshipped any other god apart from him. You know, he put himself up, he made a statue of himself. Anybody who worships any other god apart from him will be thrown into the lion's den. Do you remember that story? And so having heard that devastating news, Daniel went to his home, climbed the stairs, opened the window, and raised his hands. And it says he praised and he thanked God. Because he did that, he was thrown into the lion's den. So do you see what I mean? He chose to thank God. Even when it was easier, some might have said more sensible, not to have praised God, not to give thanks to God. He made a choice to praise God because he knew that to praise God would focus his gaze away from the lions, away from the king and his decree, and focus it on the God who was in control of everything, as it turned out, even the lion's mouth. And so to give thanks to God has to be a choice. And so it might be that you wake up in the morning and the last thing that you want to do is give thanks to God. You know, you might have a headache, you might have stubbed your toe when you're going into the bathroom. It might be that there's something heavy hanging over you that you know you've got to walk into a day that's full of difficult situations. And you have to speak to yourself like the psalmist sometimes spoke to himself. Rejoice, O my soul, rejoice, O my soul, to speak to yourself and say, I will praise God. I choose to thank God for his goodness. And with the psalmist in Psalm 7 to say, I will give thanks. I will give thanks. My circumstances are conspiring against me. My headache is pounding. My wife has just shouted at me. I'm not just in a hypothetical sense. And I don't feel like giving thanks. And in those moments, we have to choose to give thanks. Because that is God's will for our lives. And in giving thanks, it changes our perspective. And it rightly ascribes greatness to the God who is able to do all things. So that's the second thing. The third thing is giving thanks honors God. So to give thanks to God brings honor to him. Psalm 50 says this: those who sacrifice thank offerings. In the Old Testament, there was a temple with a whole system of worship that was laid down in some of the books in the Old Testament, Leviticus and others. And the Jewish people, the people of God, the Israelites, they were to bring offerings into the temple. Some of those offerings had to be given, but there were some free will offerings, and the thank offering was one of the free will offerings. And it says in Psalm 50, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. That's what God says. Those who bring thanksgiving to me voluntarily, not because they have to, not because they're coerced to, but because they want to, in the bringing of that thanksgiving, it honors me. To the blameless I will show my salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this: all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people, basically the gospel's going out, people are getting saved, churches are being planted. He says, all of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. When we give thanks, it honors the Lord and it brings glory to his name. And so this morning, it might be that you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I have got a lot to be thankful for. I'm actually very thankful to God for my health, for the food on my table, for my job. I've got money in the bank. Maybe I don't feel like I've got enough money, but I'm not in a tent in the woods, and I have children and I have relationships. If you're still blessed to have your parents around, you can thank God for your parents. There might be countless things when you begin to think about it that you can give thanks to God for. And here's the thing. When you are excited about something, you can't help but speak about it. So when my little boy Aaron was born, I remember running downstairs. We didn't have a very good phone signal in the hospital. And I ran down the stairs and into the car park because I just wanted to tell as many people as I could that my boy had just been born. My little boy. And I literally couldn't keep it in because I needed to express it. And it's like when you see something that's really praiseworthy, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You might say, oh, like Maggie did to me over there, I love that man. He is so full of joy. That's what she said to me this morning. And it was like she felt that, but it had to be expressed. And sometimes we can be thankful, and when the thankfulness overflows, like it says in that passage, when it comes from our heart and out of our mouths, other people hear it and it's like, wow, praise God, glory to God, because it's being expressed. And that's the key. See, when we express our thanksgiving to God, not only does God enjoy it, but other people hear it. And in hearing it, they say, well, yeah, God is good, isn't he? Or faith rises in somebody's heart and they believe God for something that they weren't believing God before because of our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving honors God and it brings glory to God. So when we express thanksgiving, there's also that powerful dynamic. And here's an interesting thing to think about. Giving thanks also draws us near to God. Psalm 95 says this, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. There's something we do in thanksgiving that opens up the way for us to come into the Lord's presence with a right heart. And something very similar in a very famous psalm, Psalm 100, says this, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And just imagine yourself in Jerusalem at the time of when King David was there. There would be the temple complex with the most holy place towering above the city on the top of the hill, and around the temple coming down in lower and lower stages would be the courts of the Jewish men, the Jewish women, the Gentiles. There would be courts spanning out from the center where God's presence was found and where the sacrifices were given. And as you left the temple complex, there would be big gates through which you would pass. And so imagine some of these people singing the very psalms that we have in our Bible, saying, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Give thanks to God, our amazing God. His love endures forever. And as they're approaching the courts of the temple, they're giving praise and giving thanks to the Lord. Enter through his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. That's how they did it in the Old Testament. Now, of course, we know that the Lord has said that we as his people are the temple of God. And in the through the gates of our lives and in the courts of our lives, there should be this continual giving of thanks and praise to God. And so we can approach God, we can draw near to God with thanksgiving, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. I don't know how you spend time alone with God and what your personal time of, let's call it a time of devotion, looks like. You know, all of us pray hopefully throughout the day, but there might be times that we set apart just to be with God in his presence. And I don't know how you come into his presence. For some, I guess, you know, you've got a limited amount of time and you want to get all of your things said. You might have a list of things that you want to pray for and you just want to kind of go through those things. But here's how I do it. When I come into the Lord's presence, I just still my heart before him. And I don't say anything. I just sit there in his presence. And I enjoy him. And then I just begin to thank him for the things that come to my mind. I thank him for my wife, for my kids. I thank him for you. I thank him for what he's doing in my life. I thank him for what he's doing across this body and in this town. I thank him. And I spend time just to make sure that I've thanked him, because I don't want to come with my list of stuff that I want him to do for me without recognizing that he is a good God and a generous God and a loving God, and to thank him. It's just polite, isn't it? And then I go into a time of praise where I say, Lord, you are, and when, if you ever come on a Thursday morning to our prayer gathering at the Hope Center, this is how we start. We thank God and we begin to praise him. Lord, you are great and you're awesome. You're majestic. You are the one who created all things. You sit enthroned above the circle of the earth. This is the day that you have made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice today, Lord, because you are a great God. You are mighty in power. Lord, there's nothing that's bigger than you. You are the biggest thing our minds can conceive of. And Lord, we come to you today not because we have it all together, but you are all powerful. And Lord, we just express our dependence on you today. And we say, Lord, would you fill us with your spirit, Lord God? Would you guide us as we pray today, Lord God? Because you have everything we need, Lord. We come to you. You're the source. You have everything we need, Lord. And we praise him. And that's how I approach God when I come to pray. And then I'll ask him for the things I need. And I'll talk to him about the things that are on my heart. And I don't know how you do it, but this is the pattern for me, that I enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And then the final thing that I really want to highlight this morning before we do some of this stuff together is giving thanks is how we fight our battles. Amen? In Philippians chapter 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything. That's a command over emotions, by the way. In the Bible, 365 times, the Lord says, do not be afraid. Because fear and anxiety can cause us to take our gaze off the one who is able and to put it on the situations that are around us. And sometimes fear can so fill our hearts that it squeezes faith out. And so the Lord, 365 times, that's one for every day of the year, commands us, do not be afraid, in some sense. And I'm not bringing condemnation, because there are some people here today who struggle. You struggle with anxiety, but the Lord wants to help you to overcome that. This is one of the passages in the Bible that gives us the antidote to anxiety. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, well, listen to this, guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, don't be anxious. Instead, come to the Lord with all your prayers and petitions, with your thanksgiving. Present those things to him. And then he says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You can't work it out. You don't know where it comes from. It's different from just happiness in the moment. It could even be while you're in the middle of some stuff. His peace will come into your lives. And it says that peace will stand at the gate of your life and will stand guard over your heart and stand guard over your mind when we give thanks to God in prayer. There's also another passage in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where King Jehoshaphat was facing down three armies. So the people of God were surrounded on all sides, and he was a man who looked at this situation, he thought to himself, well, we're going to die. And he was full of fear. But that fear drove him to the Lord, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take up your positions, and I want you to begin to praise me, to thank me. And this morning it might be that we want to fight our battles, and we want to do some spiritual warfare. Well, let me tell you, spiritual warfare 101. Thank the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Spiritual warfare 101. Give thanks to him. And this is what happened in 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat and the armies of the Lord, they took up their positions. they laid down their weapons, they took up their positions, and they began to praise the Lord. This is an account of what happened. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. Oh, I've joined the army. Yeah, great. What's my assignment today? Well, I want you to sing. Your job today is not to go to the front line with your spear. I want you guys to sing. And I want you guys to praise the Lord for the splendor of his holiness. And so it says that they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They took up their positions before the Lord and they began to give thanks. That doesn't look like a very effective strategy, does it? Three armies bearing down on them. Scary looking men with all of their armor, with all of their horses and chariots coming against you. And you're thinking, well, we need to come up with a battle plan. We need to get into our positions. We need to put together some of our war strategies. And we need to take up our weapons. We need to charge at them. And the Lord said, no. I am the one who fights your battles. I am the one who fights your battles. I am more powerful than any army that will come against you. I have more power at my disposal than any force that would come against you. Child of God, today, I want you to know that your God is more powerful than the thing that you're facing. And it might be that we want to fight, we want to fix this situation, we want to, with our own ideas and our own resources, come to some good outcomes. And the Lord is saying, listen, I don't want you to do that. I want you to take your positions. Take your positions and begin to thank me for who I am, because it is me who is going to fight this battle. And some of us need to know today that when we give thanks to the Lord and declare his goodness, the blessing flows into our lives. And it might be that we're so consumed by things that are going on around us that we've forgotten to look in God's direction recently. And he is still good, and he is still loving, and he is still powerful, and he still fights our battles. And this is what it says happened in verse 22. As they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. It actually goes on to say that there was confusion and they started fighting each other. The army started fighting against each other and killing each other. And then the armies of God were just standing there going, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good. His love endures forever. Giving thanks is how we fight our battles. And I want to finish today by giving us an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. And so maybe, Garrel, you can come up and just begin to play. That'd be awesome. But I want us to declare out loud God's goodness, not in long, lengthy prayers, because we want lots of people to play. But I'm going to come around with the microphone. Just put your hand up. You say one line. I thank God for my wife. That's my prayer. I thank God for my wife. Does anyone else want to give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever?
I thank God for my family.
I thank God for my husband.
I thank God for his mercy and grace.
And for your wife.
I thank God for the freedom from self.
Amen. I thank God for life.
I thank God for divine healing and health.
I thank God for all the difficulties I've gone through and conquered mightily.
I thank God for his blessings.
I thank God for forgiveness.
I thank God for unfailing love, his unfailing love.
I thank God for his awesome power.
Thank God for his grace as
for his grace upon my life through widowhood. I thank God for my wonderful friends all the way from Nigeria. And I thank God for my loving children. They're so caring.
I thank God for his faithfulness. Amen.
I thank God for Hope Church family.
I thank God for his unconditional love.
God for his faithfulness.
I thank God for his provision.
I thank God for my entire family and my friends.
And if you're getting excited and you want to start clapping and giving thanks to God,
I thank God for his guidance through his Holy Spirit.
For being with us.
I thank God for my life and my kids.
I thank God for his love.
I thank God for his restoration.
I thank God for his deliverance.
I thank God for teaching me the truth from an early age, and I'm free.
For everything.
I thank God for his word.
I thank God for his undeserved favor.
I thank God for his healing in all circumstances.
For salvation.
I thank God for my home in Corby Town and the work he does here.
Thank God that he is always with us.
I thank God that we're always able to trust him in everything in our lives.
Is it doing me good?
I thank you, Lord, that you restore the years, the locusts of Eden.
I thank God for the trials and tribulations that develop our character.
I thank God that he is faithful to all generations.
Thank God for breakthrough today, breakthrough tomorrow, and breakthrough for Corby and surrounding areas.
Thank God for all the battles he fights for me.
I thank God for giving me ears to hear all these wonderful things.
I thank God for Jesus Christ.
I thank God for the rich inheritance I have in him.
I thank God for my pastor and his wife and his children. I thank you, God, for them.
Thank God for an attitude of gratitude this morning.
Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you've given us, eternal life.
I thank God for the obstacles in my life that have diverted me back to him. Amen.
Have you got our Nintendo Switch? Oh, come on, let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you. You are awesome, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. You have been so good to us. Father, you are awesome, Lord God. We give thanks to you, Lord God. You are amazing. Yeah, come on, lift your voices. Give give him an ovation. Oh Lord, we love you. We give thanks to you, Lord God, for your great mercy, which is new every morning, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
What a word. Word in season. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail, and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will be thankful in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Isn't it amazing? As Leslie preached the other day, he said, cultivating the habit of prayer. And my prayer this afternoon is that God help us to cultivate that character, that attitude of thankfulness, of being grateful, of always, not when we have plenty in our basket. Even when our baskets are empty, we will still learn to be thankful unto you. The church has come to an end. Garrel and the worship team will continue to worship. If you are feeling that you don't have that, you're feeling very in a very difficult place whereby you're struggling to be thankful to God in the situation that you're going through, the prayer team will be here on hand to support you and to pray with you, to help you through the journey as to how to be thankful in that situation. Can we please remind you that the children's service will be closing just now, so if parents want to head that way and to collect their children, that would be grateful. Thank you very much. God bless you. Go in the peace of the Lord. Amen.